Sunday, because it's always an opportunity for the work of the Holy Spirit to do a work inside of us and bring about transformation. But it's an especially exciting Sunday on Baptism Sunday, as we get to witness firsthand what God has done in the hearts and the lives of other people. And we get to hear their stories. And in fact, today, that's what we are in. We're in this teaching series that's called Stories. And last week, Justin kicked that off as we entered into Advent season. What we are doing in this series is going through the Advent story. And we're looking at the different characters in the Advent story. You know, the Advent story is a story of hope and of anticipation that the Messiah is going to come. And inside this story, there are many different stories that are at play. And we are looking at these different characters, just like each person who got baptized this morning. If we were able to pull them aside and just talk with them, what we would learn, we would learn that there are other people's stories that had an impact in their story. And that's why they ended up making this public commitment, or this public profession, that they had made this private commitment to Jesus, and now they want to make it public, that they're committed to following Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And today in our teaching, The big idea that I want us to see is this, is that your story isn't just your story, because your story is impacting those around you. In a culture where it so easily flows off of our tongue, you do you. That's not a biblical principle. You just can't do you, because your story is actually has the power to impact someone either in a negative way or in a positive way. And you and I both know that this is true. Because how many times here in the state of Rhode Island have we sat at that red light? And all of a sudden we looked to the left and we got distracted by something that was going on over there. And you look back, and just as you look back, you could even see the light changing, right? But man, you didn't punch it, right? And the guy behind you, a stranger who you don't even know, starts blowing his horn. And then all of a sudden, your mood has changed. All of a sudden, this stranger behind you, his story's impacting you. And you're like, oh yeah? You want to be like that? Park. I love the doing that. No, I don't. Your story has the power to impact people in a positive way. This past Friday, Zoe and I had the privilege to go and give our condolences to a high school principal's family in the city of Warwick, in which we live and in which our kids went to the Warwick school system. And he was the principal for three of our kids, Jerry Habershaw. We waited in line when we got there. We waited for 2.5 hours just to be able to give our condolences. When we left, the place where we were standing outside was even longer. That's the power of a person's life, the power of story. You and I have that ability within us. And this is what we're going to see in this biblical story, in the story of Advent with two characters. We're going to look at Zechariah and Elizabeth this morning. So take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And here in this story, we will uncover, we'll see that there is another story going on inside this bigger story that's being played out. And we live in a culture of story. We all are living by a narrative. And your story is telling a story. And it tells the story by which you believe. And here with Zechariah and Elizabeth, we're going to see that they were living a story of hope in spite of all of life's disappointments. There were a ton of disappointments in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And just two that are very clear is one, they are living at a time when they are anticipating, Jesus, when are you coming? When are you coming, Messiah? When's the Messiah going to come and save us? And they are under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire's heavy weight is upon them. And yet they're staying faithful. They continue to serve. They continue to love God. And in fact, what they know, and in their disappointment, they are not able to have children. This was huge in this culture. And in fact, they are past the time of having children. They might even be the age of like empty nesters or maybe those who retire early. They are older in life. And do you know what though? Within their own story, they still saw this story of redemption. And they knew it wasn't just for them. But this, they were living a story of redemption because they understood that this is for all people, not just for us. And so it leaves us with this question. What do you see in your story? What do you see? Are you living a story? Do you see the story of redemption in your own life and you're able to live that out? I was recently in a small group. And in this small group, someone was sharing, and I did ask permission to share this, but someone was sharing about how they started the story right out with, I'm very much of an introvert. But they were in this setting where there was this instructor. And this instructor received a phone call. He became visibly upset. He comes back. He's still shaken. And finally, he just shuts the class down. This person shared, I just felt that whisper of the Holy Spirit saying, you need to go speak to them. And they argued. They're like, that's not me. I'm an introvert. You know, God, I'm not an extrovert. I can't say. What would I say? I don't know what to say. And then the instructor actually shuts the class down. And this person is thinking, oh, good, this is my escape. And they go to leave. And wouldn't you know, God put that person right in their pathway to leave the space that they were at. And they were like, oh, come on, God. And here, this introvert saw within themselves that story of redemption and thought, you know what, God has redeemed me. You know what I can do? I can at least ask, can I just pray for you? And so they paused and they said, hey, what's going on? And they shared what was going on. And then this person says, well, can I pray for you? And they were again like, this isn't me. I don't normally do this. And then they reached out and put their hand on their shoulder and prayed for them right there in this room setting. I can tell you right now, that instructor will never forget that moment. That's the power of story. Do you see the power that your story can play in somebody else's life? Well, let's jump into Luke chapter 1. Let's look at verses 5 through 7 first. Here it gives us the background of Zechariah and Elizabeth. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. Now, Luke, as he writes this, is so careful to make sure that we understand. That we understand that Zechariah and Elizabeth loved God. And they were serving him faithfully. And the reason why that Luke makes sure that he points this out is because of what he says next. He says, they had no children. And then he's very clear to give us a window into where they are in their stage of life. He says, they had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive and they were both very old. Now, first, in their culture, if you weren't able to have kids, it was common for people to think, ooh, what did you do? It was common for people to judge somebody else for not having children. And what Luke is making clear, that there was no hidden sin in their life that was keeping this from happening. He made it clear, no, these Elizabeth and Zechariah, they loved God. They were living a life with anticipation that the Messiah was going to come. And they were being faithful to God, following God's law. But still, they had no kids. They stayed faithful. And in this, he says, they're very old. Now, I know that those of us who may be in that empty nester stage don't count that as very old, right? So maybe they're retirement age, like senior citizens. I don't know. But Luke says, hey, these guys are very old. Well, Zechariah was a part of the priesthood. And so he would go into the temple and he would serve there. And it was his week to go and serve. And there he goes. Zechariah is serving, and in there he's before the altar of incense. And let's see what happens. It says, and while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. And Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son. And you are to name him John. I want us to notice in this story of this couple who was, in Luke's terms, very old, that God heard their prayer. Finally. Like they had been praying this. There's no doubt they were praying this like when they were in their 20s. Not when they were in their 50s or 60s. But they were praying a prayer, God, won't you give us a son? God, what, you know the shame, because this is an honor shame culture. And the shame that will be brought upon us if we don't have a son. And then there's the whole economics of the thing, of their culture, of who will care for us in our elder age. And so all of that is swirling around, and yet Zechariah and Elizabeth chose to stay faithful. They weren't praying this for 5 days or 5 months or even 5 years. They were praying this prayer possibly for 25 years. Maybe longer. And now when he's very old, God, really? You're going to give me a son now? And as he processes all of this, he starts to doubt, well, how can I be for sure that this is really what's going to happen? And the angel looks back at him and says, because he acknowledges who he is. He says, I am Gabriel, and God is the one who sent me. Because you have doubted, because you have questioned, from this point forward, your ability to speak is going to stop. Sounds harsh. We're like, he already had to wait so long. I mean, what is going on here? But for the next 9 months, Zechariah would not be able to speak a word. Well, he finishes up with his duties as a priest, and he goes back home to be with his wife. And then in verse 24, we see soon after, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months, because that's what you do when you're 60 years old and you get pregnant. You're like, ah! And there, I want us to notice her response. Look at her response. Her response back to God. How kind the Lord is. Will you think about that for a second? Because if that was you or I, we would have been complaining. We're like, really, God? Come on. This should have happened when I was in my 20s. Or at least my 30s and the latest. But really, right now? God, what are you doing? God, I think you made a mistake. You've tapped the wrong person on the shoulder. Look how old I am. She doesn't respond anything like that. What we see in the life of Elizabeth is that she is faithfully serving God, not for what she can get out of it. She's serving God just because He's worthy of our service. Is that why you serve? Do you serve God not because, oh, if I do this, oh, maybe He'll answer this prayer? Maybe he'll do this. I'll get that job promotion. Or maybe this girl will date me, or this guy will date me if I will just do this. Is that why you serve? Is that the motive behind what you do? It wasn't for Zechariah and Elizabeth. They thought this wasn't going to happen. They're way too old. But they continued to be faithful. She lived from this posture. And then she says this: God has taken away my disgrace of having no children. She was carrying the weight in this honor-shame culture. And so I think the practical question for us is, what are you carrying? What are you carrying? What's the weight that you are carrying? Some people try to carry the weight to pay for their own sins. And you know how they do that? They try to be good enough. Just recently, in this conversation with somebody, they were sharing with me, well, Rick, you know, I'm trying to always do the right thing. And I'm hoping at the end of the day that I've done more good than I have bad. That's somebody trying to pay for their own sin. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to pay for your sin and for my sin. He came to die. He was buried and then resurrected again to overcome death, which is the payment for sin, forever separated from God. Are you trying to carry that? Or are you carrying unforgiveness? Are you holding on to a hurt or a pain that's happened in your life? Are you carrying the weight of that? Well, Luke kind of takes a turn in the story, and he starts to share with us about Mary and Joseph. And next week, we're going to come back and look at the story of Mary and Joseph. But there is one part of this story that I want you to see, because it shows us the power that your story isn't just your story, that your story is actually impacting those around you. And it's the part where the angel shows up to Mary and is telling her what's going to happen in her life. And then Mary is listening to this angel share this. And I want us to see this in verse 36 and 37. The angel says to Mary, "Your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month." So when Mary gets this message, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, and she is going to have this baby, where everybody else is saying, you know, look, you know, the shame that has come upon them. And Mary, and the angel says, "For with God, nothing is impossible." And you know Mary's response. Now, this is all about Elizabeth's story and this happening in her. And it impacted the mother of the Messiah. It impacted Mary. It impacted Mary in such a way that she would respond back, "God, whatever it is that you want to do in my life, do it. If you can do it in Elizabeth's, then do it in mine." See, that's the power of story. Elizabeth ends up, and Zechariah, they end up having their baby. And when they had their baby, as their Jewish custom was, on the eighth day would become circumcision. And don't ask me why, but it was like some town celebration. Everybody came over for the circumcision. You know, that's like, saw it once, and I was like, I'll never see that again, because that is, Okay, so all this happens, and there's all these people there. And in this gathering, they start asking Elizabeth, "What are you going to name?" They haven't made the name public yet. And they're asking Elizabeth, "What are you going to name your son?" And she says, "John." And they're all like, hold it, what? Because in this culture, you name them after their father or their grandfather or somebody, you know, within the family, and they knew their family, and there were no Johns in their family. And they're all like, no, this can't be. We're going to go to Zachariah. We're going to Dad. Dad will tell us what he's going to name him. And so they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. And Zachariah, he motioned for them to go get the iPad Air, you know, and he's going to write it out for them. And to everyone's surprise, he wrote, his name is John. And immediately, instantly, Zachariah could speak again. Don't forget, this has been 9 months at least. And he began praising God. And the result of that was awe fell upon the whole neighborhood because of what God was doing in the life of this couple. All of that, their story started spreading this awe into the neighborhood, into all those that were around there, so much so that the news of what happened spread throughout the whole community, all of the Judean hills. And it didn't stop there. Everyone who heard about it, people who weren't even in the room, people who just were in the room and went and told their neighbor who wasn't there, and they were like, hey, you won't believe what happened. Look what happened. Look what God is doing in the life of these people. And it caused them to reflect on these events and ask, what will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. See, that's the power of story. You can have that kind of impact in someone's life. We've all been given the ability to live out our life in such a way that it points people back to the awe of Jesus, the one that we worship. If we worship like Zechariah and Elizabeth did. Zechariah and Elizabeth worshiped, and they were faithful, not for what they could get out of it. They were faithful just because he was worthy. In this story, then we next have Zechariah's prophecy, where he starts prophesying about Jesus. And that in 6 more months that Jesus, that the Messiah will be coming. And he starts prophesying about the Messiah coming, the Savior of the world. But then in this prophecy, in verse 76, he takes this turn. And notice what he does. And he says, and you, my little son, as he looks at John laying there, and screaming, obviously, but he's laying there. And he says, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High. And you will prepare the way for the Lord. This is right out of the prophecy of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied that there would be a prophet who would go before the Messiah who actually comes. And that's what Zechariah is saying is happening before his very eyes. And then he says this. He says, and you, John, you're going to tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Do you know how to find the forgiveness of sins? Have you received the forgiveness of sins? That's why the very first next step on our connection card reads like this. It says, I need the salvation that Jesus offers for the forgiveness of my sins. Please pray for me. If you have joined us in Lincoln or South County, if you've joined us online, or if you're right here in this room, if you have never received the forgiveness of sins through putting your faith in the person of Jesus, then today could be that day. Today could be the day that the weight of that comes off of you. And you don't have to try and be good enough and hope that at the end of the day that your good outweighs your bad. That can go away. Would you do this? Would you just indicate it on your connection card and make sure that your contact information is there so that we can reach out and have a conversation around that with you? Or if it's easier for you to text, you can just text that word trust to our texting number. And we would love to be able to have a conversation with you around what that actually looks like. Now, for all of you who have received the gift, for all of you who have the forgiveness of sins, and you find yourself in the same spot as these six people who got baptized, from the youngest to the oldest, they all know what it's like now to walk through life without carrying the weight of sin, because they acknowledged that it was Jesus who took their sin. Maybe you feel, though, more like Elizabeth, and you say, I'm carrying the weight of an issue that's going on in my life, and I need prayer. You know, you're holding on to that hurt. You are holding on to that unforgiveness. You have that unforgiving spirit inside of you. You are holding on to the pain. And what Jesus would say is, would you let it go? Would you release it? We want to pray for you this morning. And maybe you would be so bold to share, hey, and Rick, here's the specific issue. Will you pray specifically into this? You can do that right on our connection card. You can do that. If it's easier for you, you can use that texting number. And the keyword would be pray, and then the same phone number. But the other next step says this. It says, pray, I will live with such purpose that my story will instill the awe of Jesus to all I cross paths with. Don't we want to live like that? Don't you want to have a story that has the power to instill the awe of who Jesus is? When they watch your life, when they read your life, in this chapter where you are right now, when you go to school and when you go to work, don't you want to have the kind of life that would instill the all of who Jesus is? Not you, because it's not about you. But it's about the way that you are living your life, that people have no question about who Jesus is in your life. That it's not a religion to you, that it is a relationship, and you live that relationship very publicly. And they see it in the way that you respond to other people. They see it in the way that you respect people who have different opinions than you do. You have such a spirit about you that it's like, oh my gosh, there's just something different. And then that opens the door so that you can share what that something different is. I know I want to live my life. I'm asking you, will you pray for me in that way? I need you to. And I want to pray for you. And our team wants to pray for you. So again, indicated on that connection card that you got, it was inside the bulletin, or it's on that QR code in front of your chair. Or again, if you're online, just click on that connection card link. Or if it's easier for you to just text that word pray. And you can just fill out in that comment section there where the prayers are, just type in there how we can be praying for you, because we do want to be praying for you. This morning, we have the opportunity to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross through communion. And that's what communion is all about. Communion is remembering what Jesus did. Communion is reminding us that you don't have to carry the weight of your sin if you just put your faith and trust in Jesus, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, we invite you to take communion with us. We invite you to do that through, when you came in, you should have received the communion. On one side is the bread, the other side is the juice. If you didn't, then during this time, the ushers, if you just lift your hand, the ushers will make sure that you receive one of these. And so the ushers are looking. If you go ahead right now, raise your hand. If you're online, maybe you need to go get some juice and some bread. Lincoln site, our South County site, get ready. You have these supplies there. Make sure everyone has one. And every time that we receive communion, we are supposed to prepare our hearts. And we're supposed to do some self-reflection. And Paul says it this way. He says, let every person examine his heart and make sure that you're right with God. This is between you and God, and then make sure that you're right with those around you. And so we're going to use this time of reflection as the band sings this, the part of this song. We'll use that time for reflection. And then there'll be a part in this song that they will pause, and I'll come back and we'll all take together. I want to pray for us. Father, thank you. We say thank you for your body. We say thank you that it was broken, that you shed your blood so that we could have the forgiveness of sin. Jesus, that we don't have to carry the weight of that. Thank you for being that kind of God. And Jesus, I pray for Lincoln and those in South County. I pray for those online. And Jesus, I'm praying for those right here in this room, that you, Holy Spirit, would bring the appropriate words, conviction, enlightenment. God, you do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. Remove the blinders from our eyes so that we can see. How is our relationship with you? How is our relationship with those around us? God, may we get right with you. May we confess where confession is needed. And Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would encourage where encouragement is needed. People need to see you, and they need to hear from you. And so we're asking you will speak and that we would respond. Thank you for what you're going to do in these next few moments. In Jesus' name.